Good morning and welcome to another broadcast of Words of Faith, and thank you for tuning in today. It's so good to have you listening, and we appreciate your joining us. We hope that you have your Bible ready to open up to Luke chapter 4. We're going to begin today by reading Luke 4, verses 38 and 39. We're going to be talking today about one of the most well-known men in the New Testament. His name, the Apostle Peter. So let's begin here today by looking at Luke chapter 4, verse 38 and 39, and then we're going to refer to one passage in Matthew and another passage in the book of 1 Corinthians to shed some light on what we're reading here and to help us to understand what we're looking at. So let's begin by reading. Luke chapter 4, verse 38 says, "And he arose out of the synagogue." Now this is talking about Jesus. "Jesus then arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house." Now, as you read the New Testament, you're going to find that men are oftentimes called by two different names. You find that Paul is also called Saul. You find that Peter is called Simon. He's also called Cephas. So oftentimes back in those days, these men would have a Hebrew name with a Hebrew word and a Greek name with a Greek word. And so the Bible says that he's entering into Simon's house. Now this is the man that we later call the Apostle Peter. The Bible says, "And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them." So we have here another case of a miracle of healing. And the person who's being healed here happens to be Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Now the Bible specifically says here that this is Simon's wife's mother. So Simon Peter had a wife. There's absolutely no question about that. That's what this verse says in Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Now, if you ask the question, well, did he keep his wife when he became an apostle? Did he stay married to her? Or did he have to end that relationship? Well, Jesus never chose apostles to end a marriage. Jesus never encouraged people to end a marriage. Jesus said, "Whatever God has joined together, let not man put asunder." Somebody says, well, do we know that Peter actually stayed married, that he kept his wife? Well, we actually have a verse on that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul says in chapter 9, verse 5, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as brethren of the Lord, and Cephas?" Now, Cephas is Peter. And so Peter had a wife, and Paul says, now look, as far as a privilege or a right is concerned, we have just as much right to be married and to be supported by the church as these other apostles, and especially Cephas or Peter. So yes, Peter was a married man, and he remained a married man. Just because he became an apostle did not mean that he set aside his relationship to his wife and that he ended his responsibilities to her. He was very busy, and he had to sacrifice time away from her, but he was a married man. And the Bible shows that here and in other places. Now, there's something about the fact that Peter was married that I want to talk about this morning, because there is a current television advertisement, which is from the Roman Catholic Church, which says something that conflicts with what the Bible says here. And in that television advertisement, in that commercial, they say that Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, before we go on any further, before we actually look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, which they have misquoted here, let's spend some time just by thinking this through again. The Catholic Church says that Peter was the first pope. The Catholic Church teaches that the Pope must not have a wife. He must not be married. And yet, what do we find about Peter? We find that Peter, whom they say was the first Pope, had a wife. So if you don't know anything else about this issue, you can see right away that that doctrine conflicts with, it contradicts what we're reading right here in Luke chapter 4. Look at it again for yourself here in Luke chapter 4, verse 38. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. So there's absolutely no question about it. The Bible teaches that very plainly. So that's the first thing to remember about this whole issue. If you're going to say that Peter was the first pope, you're going to contradict the Bible right away, because if you say that the pope cannot be married and Peter was married, well, that means that Peter could not have been the first pope. But let's go back to Matthew chapter 16, because this is the passage that they're quoting here, Matthew chapter 16. And I want you to notice what the Bible says beginning in verse 13. We have to get the context here, I believe, to appreciate what's going on and what's being said. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now remember what Peter said there in verse 16. Peter said, regardless of what these other people are saying, my position, my belief, is that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," that is, Simon the son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you." Reveal what? The fact that he was the Son of God, the Christ. Flesh and blood did not tell him that, and that simply means that he didn't learn that from men. People didn't teach him that, but my Father which is in heaven. God showed, God proved that Jesus was the Messiah by the miracles that Jesus did and by the prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But notice again in verse 17 that Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And in verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now the Catholic rendition of that I cited earlier says that Jesus said to Peter, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." Well, in the context here, Peter said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and then the Bible says in verse 17 that Jesus said to Peter, "You're blessed, because men have not taught you this, but God the Father revealed this to you." Revealed what? The fact that he was the Son of God. That's the point of this context. And so then in verse 18 he says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock," what rock? What he said in verse 16. The very thing that Peter confessed and acknowledged in verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, you learned this from God the Father, and it's upon this rock that I will build my church." Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus did not build the church on the Apostle Peter. That didn't happen. So when this advertisement says that Jesus himself laid the foundation for the church, no, here's what the Bible actually says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, this is a very important verse, and this helps us to understand exactly what Jesus was saying to the Apostle Peter. Here's what the Bible says about the foundation of the church. Let's see who it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus did not lay the foundation. He didn't make Peter the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. You see, in that chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is talking about the church, and he says it's like a building. He says it is God's building, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. It is the temple of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It is a spiritual building. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, that the foundation of that building, which is the church, is Jesus Christ. It is not the Apostle Peter. It is our Lord and Savior. Now let's sum up these two points that we've made about the Apostle Peter today. In just the few minutes that we've spent with this today, we have established two important things from the Bible about the Apostle Peter. We have seen, number one, that he had a wife. And since Catholic doctrine says that the Pope must not have a wife and cannot have a wife if he's going to be Pope, then that means that Peter never was a Pope. Number two, we have shown from the context of Matthew chapter 16 that when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he is talking about the foundation of the church. And in the context, that foundation is the fact that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is that truth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says plainly that Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Lord's church. It is not a man. It is not one of the apostles that we read about in the Bible. And it has not been any man since that time. God did not build the church on the foundation of a fallible human being. He built the Lord's church upon Jesus himself, because Jesus is the one that died for it. Jesus shed his blood for the church. And no man has the right to assert himself as some kind of supreme leader or ruler over the church. God never gave any man that authority. God forbids that in the Bible. And what the scriptures do show is this, that the apostles were selected by Jesus Christ. And those men were specially chosen by the Lord himself. They proved themselves to be apostles by the signs that they did, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And no man today has their power or has their authority or occupies their position, much less a position that is not even in the Bible, a position that many people call the position or the office of a pope. There's only one way to come up with those ideas, folks, and that is to go outside of the Bible to get them. That's why you and I need to go to the Scriptures and be guided by the Word of God in what we do, what we say, what we teach, and what we believe. Well, thank you for listening today. I hope that you'll study these passages more. And if we can help you in any way, if we can supply you with material that you can read on this subject or any other subject, or get you a copy of this or any other broadcast, please let us know, and we'll be glad to do that free of charge. Thank you for listening today, and have a wonderful rest of the day.